Well, this is fun to begin again. I thought I might give you a little update on where I am and how I'm coming along. I have started some physical therapy on my shoulder. It doesn't look like I'll have to have surgery on my shoulder, which is a really good thing. This last week, I had some extra swelling in my leg, and they think there may be an infection there. So I'm on antibiotics for that, and they are not sure if they might have to do some surgery on that leg just to relieve the pressure inside the leg, which is it wasn't my first choice. It wasn't my first choice, but we'll see how that goes. And again, I thank you for your prayers. Your prayers have been a big part of my recovery, and your encouragement. In these some 37 days since my accident, I've learned a lot of things about comfort and cheer, and it's been overwhelming at times. I've come to value the power of encouragement as it's mediated through you. Words of appreciation, assurances of prayer, quotes, scripture readings that you've sent me, various ways that you have reminded me that I am special to you, and I thank you for it. It's endeared you to me. It's was important to my my recovery. Your capacity for cheer has been a medicine to my heart, and I thank you for it. It's often given me courage that can't be calculated. I don't know how to even weight it, but it's the kind of thing that's a turning point for you at just the time that you need it. I have often tried to give cheer, but this time it's been your turn, and I am just deeply grateful for what you've done for me. You know, cars aren't the only thing that need gas. Human beings need it too. Each one of us has a fuel tank, and it gets empty at times. The inner being of our spirits, that's where you can kind of read how full or empty we are. There's kind of a gauge in our eyes that shows people are bright and cheered and walk tall and shoulders are squared and straight. Some are hunched over. You could look at how people walk. Either they march with energy or they just kind of trudge along. You have been a fueler of my tank. I want to thank you so much for that. And you know, it just reminds me again that there are people that just literally breathe life into you. That is such an encouraging thing about the capacity that we have. These people call us to live up to the best that we can be. When you're with them, your anxiety level goes down, and your trust and hope goes up. And you've been that to me. And you've consequently probably experienced it the other way around, where some people seem to take a hose and stick it into your tank and siphon off energy and encouragement, just a literal drain on your bucket. But and we don't want to be like that. We want to be people who actually breathe new life into each other. Encouragement, correctly understood, is part of the language of the New Testament. To encourage, interestingly, is used more than 100 times in the New Testament. And one of the great characters of the Bible we're going to look at here this morning, his name is both Joseph and then Barnabas. He's called two names. So we'll take a look at that, particularly in the book of Acts. We're going to look at him and dream about what we could do or be. We all, I think, hunger and thirst for encouragement. When encouragement comes our way, we soak it up like a sponge. We're ready for more because that's what gets us through the day. And encouragement brings us hope and strength and growth. Barnabas was one of those unique characters. He has a unique place in the history of the church. He is both a model for us, and he is also a person who lived what I think he believed out. The first time we see him mentioned, it's in Acts chapter 4, verse 36. So if you'd like to turn there with me, we'll take a look at Acts 4, verse 36. And this outline is kind of where we're going to go here today. When we look at encouragers, they give themselves freely. They accept you where they are, where you are. They get excited about progress when they see it in you or others. They meet the current need at hand, and they give others a second chance, or maybe encourage a person to make the second effort. So that's where we'll go here this morning. Interesting, he is mentioned, like, again, as I say, in Acts chapter 4, verse 36 through 37. And this has to do with the idea that encouragers give freely of themselves and their resources. It says there, Joseph, now that's the same person, Barnabas, Joseph, a Levite from Cyprus, whom the apostles called Barnabas, which means, as you see up here, son of encouragement. The word is broken up into two pieces, bar, it means son, and abba, encouraged. So son of encouragement, that's his other name. What is interesting to me, I don't know if it's true, but I wonder if Barnabas was a nickname that kind of got attached to Joseph because of what people observed in him. Now, I had a friend in high school whose name was Tinker. I did not know his first real name. He preferred that nobody know his first name because it was Floyd. Floyd was not a very fun name, at least at that period in high school history, to have that name to have. But Tinker was so named because he, from as soon as he could get his hands on something, loved to take it apart and look at it, figure out how it went, came apart, and then put it back together. And he got really good at it. When he was just a young little kid, he used to race go-karts, and these go-karts had two engines on them, so they were fast go-karts. So Tinker was a name given to Floyd Daniels because he loved to tinker. I wonder if Joseph ended up named Son of Encouragement because of something people observed in him. Wouldn't that be cool to be kind of named Son of Encouragement? What a title, what a nickname. He was such an important person in the lives of the early church. And here it says, this Levite from Cyprus, whom the apostles called Barnabas, sold a field that he owned and brought the money and put it at the apostles' feet. So he sells a piece of land and gives the money to the church to distribute to those who had need. At that time, the church often went through severe persecution, especially for being Christians. You could get blackballed. You could get blackballed in your business. No one would support your business. You'd starve to death. So people were needy. Some brothers and sisters were very needy. What does he do? Well, he says, well, I have excess. I have an opportunity. There's this piece of ground I have, and I want to just sell it and bring it to the church and take care of the needs that are there. Let's take care of each other. And we do that in many, many ways. When we send money to our mission fields, we encourage the missionaries who are there. We value their work by sending support to them. And there are ways that we do that with each other. Valuing each other by giving out of our resources or giving of ourselves. And if you want to really encourage someone, think about it. It's usually we're encouraged by something tangible, something actually done. I experience that in letters and cards and flowers and good food. You are amazing cooks. We ate very well the first few weeks that we were that I was laid up in the hospital, and accompanied by visits. The very night that I ended up in the hospital, there were people who came and visited me and shared their concern for me. Bruce and Kathy came almost immediately when I got into my room. They're encouraging me. Thank you. Thank you so much for that. Humor was something I think you had at hand and you used masterfully to encourage me. I want to just show you a couple of things that were sent to me. That was one card. Hope you're back on your feet soon. Another one, hang in there, things will get better soon. I really love the next one. Some days you're a windshield, and some days you're the bug. And I don't know, for those of you who are here who don't know about my accident, I was in a motorcycle accident where I was the bug. I hit a windshield hard. Thank you, Andrea. It was a wonderful card. It was a wonderful card. I enjoyed it so much. I needed to laugh at that time. It was just terrific. Another one. Someone gave me this little motorcycle. It was terrific. He came in and gave me this little motorcycle, and he said, thing I couldn't figure out was just give it like that or to hit it with a hammer. Because of what my motorcycle looked like. It was wonderful. It just cracked me up. I needed that kind of encouragement. You took what is at hand, what was at hand for you. Some of you were really good listeners to me. Kind of needing to tell my story. I think sometimes when you go through something traumatic, you kind of need the opportunity to talk it out. And so you were good listeners. You were bearers of hope. Things will get better, like the one up there. Examples of trusting God through difficult times. You're accepting people. We'll look at that a little bit. In just a moment, more about that. People who shared realistic perspectives about the healing process. I had people come directly from church to my house on Sunday and sing to me. It was wonderful. I could just sit there in my chair and I got to hear and sing along the worship songs that you sang that morning. It was heartening. People who sang to me encouraged me. Some people reminded me of what I said that encouraged them. It was amazing to have my own words that I've spoken in messages reflected back to me. And I thought, oh yeah. And in fact, some of the words were so amazing. I thought, how fitting. How fitting for what I'm going through now. So thank you for all of those things. I've discovered a couple of things that show me that it's truly taking what we have at hand, our resources or ourselves, and encouraging people with what we have. Doing something tangible, that's the most encouraging thing that we could hope or want to do. Freely giving from our resources without expecting anything in return. Corrie Ten Boom put it so well one time when she said, I've learned not to hold on to anything too tightly. That's when she's talking about her own resources. Because it hurts too much to have God pry back my fingers to get to it. So I've learned to live my life with an open hand so that God can put in and he can take out whatever he wants, And that way, I never miss a blessing. And thank you for being so free about the things that belong to you. Another thing that encouragers do is that they accept you where you are. This is what Barnabas did. He accepted people where they were. If you turn to Acts chapter 9, verses 20 through 22, it reads this way. Acts chapter 9, verses 20 through 22, it reads this way. At once he began to preach in the synagogues that Jesus is the Son of God. All those who heard him were astonished and asked, "Isn't he," this is Paul or Saul, "the man who raised havoc in Jerusalem among those who call upon this name? And hasn't he come here to take them as prisoners, prisoners to the chief priests?" Yet Saul grew more and more powerful and baffled the Jews living in Damascus by proving that Jesus is the Christ. Well, eventually the Jews there conspired to kill him. And some of Paul's new acquaintances, brothers and sisters in Christ, took him at night, lowered him down in a basket through an opening in the city wall. Paul then went to Jerusalem to join the disciples. Interesting thing, he shows up at Jerusalem, he doesn't get a warm welcome. Okay, they know what his reputation has been, and so he finds that the very people that he thought he would have fellowship with, he couldn't. They didn't trust him. Here is an amazing person whose life had flip-flopped. He persecuted the church. In fact, in Acts 8, it says Saul began ravaging the church. He was fully committed, as best he knew how, to putting down this new movement. This word ravage is quite interesting. It's like, I don't know if you've seen a pig go through a field that's kind of muddy, and the way they root up the ground, they just dig up the ground. Have you ever seen him just throw whole clods and things up? That's the kind of thing he was doing. He was just tearing up the ground in front of him in regard to Christians. And it was the Christians who were getting hurt. So here he is, and there is an interesting word in Scripture. It's the word but. I like that word at times, but. Acts 9:27, we see one of those contrasts. But Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles. He told them how Saul on his journey had seen the Lord, and that the Lord had spoken to him, and how in Damascus he'd preached fearlessly the name of Jesus. So Saul stayed with them and moved about freely in Jerusalem, speaking boldly in the name of the Lord. Here is an interesting characteristic of someone who encourages. They are willing to accept you where you are and help you get to where you need to be. I like that. Instead of just being put off by where a person is and just kind of turning away from them, they often accept people and help them get to where they need to be. They're the kind of people who don't look so much at your reputation or your past. They have this wonderful ability to get past it and to start fresh right with you. I know that this may be stretching it a little bit, but here's one thing that I want to tell you about my recovery. In supporting my getting healthy, you have all accepted me where I am. And you made sure I did too. That was kind of cool. You kept at it, helping me accept where I was. And even at times when I haven't known exactly where I am in this healing process. And I'm grateful for that. I did not feel wrong about taking the time I needed to heal because of you. And I thank you for it. It gave me space and affirmed who I am. I think Barnabas gave Paul or Saul some space to be who he was. It affirmed who he was. And he provided just the amount of support, critical support, when Saul needed it for him to find his way into the fellowship of brothers and sisters in Christ and serve the church. And you just think about it. Think about Paul. I mean, it's always hard to guess. You can't rewrite history, but if he hadn't done that, if Paul had become discouraged like some of us are tempted to become discouraged, we might not have half of the New Testament. It's a remarkable thing that he did, this friend, this encourager. A third thing, characteristic of an encourager, is that they get excited about the progress of others. Because of the death of Stephen, we find that the church is growing and spreading across the map. In Acts chapter 11, if you want to turn there, Acts chapter 11, verse 19, it says in Luke 11, verse 19, "Now those who had been scattered by the persecution in connection with Stephen traveled as far as Phoenicia, Cyrus, and Antioch, telling the message only to the Jews. Some of them, however, men of Cyprus and Cyrene, went to Antioch and began to speak to the Greeks also, telling the good news about the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord's hand was with them, and a great number of people believed and turned to the Lord. News about them reached the ears of the church at Jerusalem." Well, at this point, the church needs a follow-up program, someone to follow up all this response to Christ, to minister to the Gentiles. And their follow-up program happens to be Barnabas. They choose to send him off to Antioch, and it's a good choice. Why? Why do you think it's a good choice? Well, for what we've already said, he wouldn't have had racial problems because he doesn't judge people because of their past. He's the perfect choice. What does a new believer need more than anything when they start their walk with Christ? Encouragement. And what did Barnabas do when he got there? He witnessed to the grace of God and began to encourage them to remain true to the Lord. He rejoiced. He got excited about their progress. Encouragers get excited about the progress of others. I know that I'm stronger in this area of encouragement because there have been encouragers in my life all through my life. I would not be here today were it not for strategically placed, God-placed encouragers in my life. High school was particularly difficult for me. I wasn't very focused in high school. I had attention deficit problems in high school. And there were both detractors and there were encouragers. And it made all the difference. They helped me believe in myself. I could hope for more or dream for more because of their confidence in me. It spurred me on to want to do my best. And that's what encouragement does. And again, I appreciate all of you who've helped me to celebrate my successes in this recovery. People in recovery don't often see changes. I have been used to measuring my progress in terms of days and was advised strongly against that, that I should measure more in terms of weeks and maybe larger blocks of time. Celebrating the successes that sometimes onlookers see the bigger picture. They actually see the progress that's going. Even with what looks like a a setback. Sometimes they help because of their perspective to size things up. I told someone about the my leg having to maybe have surgery, and you'll find this interesting, I think. He said, well, just do it. Get it done. And then you'll make better progress. You'll have quite a scar. Chicks dig scars. I said, I don't know about that last part. But I noticed the effect on me that it helped me look at the possibility of surgery in a different light. It was great in its effect. So encouragers get excited about the progress of others and help others, you know, maybe see things from a different angle. They meet the current need. In Acts chapter 11, 24 and verse 25, it says, he, and that's Barnabas, was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and faith, and a great number of people there were brought to the Lord. Then Barnabas went to Tarsus to look for Saul. This is an interesting moment here. So strange. All of a sudden, the church is just booming. And I don't know what it would happen today if people had the same circumstances. They might say, well, we've got to consolidate all this. Well, let's go to two services. Let's keep them all coming. He goes off to another place and gets Saul. Why? Well, it's so interesting to me. When he found Saul or Paul, they went back to Antioch, and for a whole year they met with the church and taught new Christians. I think Barnabas had the ability to see in Saul some things that maybe even he didn't possess. He saw potential. Everybody else saw the rough diamond. He saw the potential. And so, you know, he's wanting to meet the need. And he's going to do whatever it is. And I know that gifted person over there, this guy named Saul that people hardly trust, he can ground these people. And so he gets them and he brings them over. This is the willing servant who's willing to be used in whatever way he wants. This is what we would call a good servant mentality. He was an encourager, willing to sit in the back seat maybe and let everybody else or somebody else drive. So interesting, Barnabas kind of fades out of the picture and Saul becomes more prominent in the book of Acts from now on. The willing servant, the here I am, Lord, use me servant. That is an attitude that was so concretely expressed in Bruce and Kathy. Immediately they came and ministered to me in the hospital. Immediately, this is Saturday night. They said, yeah, we'll handle tomorrow, the Sunday service. And they did for four more Sundays. It's amazing. Thank you, dear sister and brother. Could you join me in giving them a hand? I can't do it. Thank you so much. And so the last idea then is the encouragers give the others a chance, another chance. It's interesting in Barnabas and Paul's relationship, there was a third person, and his name was John Mark. Paul became very discouraged and, in fact, I think hurt by John Mark when he left Paul's ministry. We don't know why John Mark continued to decided to leave Paul's entourage. Some people suggest that John Mark was actually a cousin of Barnabas, and that maybe he saw the change of the leadership going on. And there were some times when he wasn't all that wild about this new guy, Paul. That would make sense, wouldn't it? if you are a relative, and you saw this whole shift. So others thought that maybe he was afraid of what might happen to him if he follows this dangerous guy around. This guy Paul is constantly standing toe to toe with other people, especially powerful people. People that could get him killed. And so he may have decided to not follow at that time. But later in Paul's ministry, he got it put together. I don't know when his aha moment came. You would have thought it would have come earlier when he was so disappointed with John Mark, and that maybe shortly after when John Mark went off with Barnabas. Like, oh, Barnabas is doing it again. He's an encourager. He's giving the guy a second chance. Maybe that's what I should do. Maybe I should give him a second chance. And that's what it seemed like he did. Encouragers are people of the second try, the second chance. They help people keep at it. John Mark kept at it, and in fact, Paul knew he would be helpful and asked for John Mark to come and join him in ministry again. He encouraged him to keep at it and to not get too discouraged. Now it's that last part, keeping at it, the second try. It's a little different in thought, in terms of application, but I'd like you to just bear with me a little bit. When you're going through pain and you find yourself struggling for perspective, it's not easy to keep at it. And again, I am just in the kindergarten of experiencing pain. I am in kindergarten. Much of my pain is going to disappear. But there are people in this room who experience chronic pain day after day after day. You are my new heroes. I've just gotten a taste of what you've lived with and how you've walked with Christ in pain, in suffering. It amazes me. Thank you. I hope this isn't too difficult. Tony and Rob have been some mentors that I got to talk with at length about the struggles that I was going through. Being in their company made me want to keep trying, and it also helped me figure out again that I'm a kindergartner when it comes to suffering and living my faith. It has gone well with me for most of my life. I haven't had chronic pain, periodic, short-lived pain. But you, again, are my new heroes, and your encouragement was just timely. Right on. Let me sum up here with this story about encouragement. There's a painter named Benjamin West. Benjamin West was a Quaker and a painter. He kind of changed things in medieval. During his day, most paintings were figures were clothed in medieval kinds of garb, and he changed things. He went for the simplicity of current dress in his paintings. So he actually created a whole new trend in art. Eventually that spread to England, where he went as well. And this is one famous painting. You may have seen it before, William Penn's Treaty with the Native Americans, and that was by the same artist. When his mother watched over him, apparently there were times when she'd have to go in and out. But when she would have to leave, she'd pull out some oil paints, and he would try to paint. And one day, after he had all the paints out, he made quite a mess, and he hoped to get it all cleaned up before his mother came back, but she came home before everything was clean. Wes says that she did something next that completely surprised him. She picked up his painting and said, "My, what a beautiful painting of your sister." And then she gave him a kiss on his cheek, and he says, "That day I became a painter." Encouragement at just the right moment. You are right on in the way that you've encouraged me. You've taken things that belong to you, were parts of you, or available to you at your hand, and you befriended me in profound ways. I'd say you're good at it. This, too, we offer not only to ourselves, but to those in our community who need Jesus so. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this time here this morning. I thank you for the way these people have been such a support to me. Would you please bless them for what they've done for my sake? And would you use these wonderful gifts and abilities and insights that they have to bring blessing to those in our sphere of influence, our friends, our families, our neighbors, our employees, fellow students. We ask that you glorify your Son Jesus in this. Amen.